As dawn broke on Friday, April 19th last year, police dogs nuzzled their trained snouts beneath tarps while SWAT teams went yard to yard, opening sheds and garage doors across a swath of Watertown.
A SWAT team came into our backyard.
Very early on in the day, around 7:30.
You know, opened up the door to under our deck and got on his belly and pointed his rifle under our deck.
While sheltering in place, Mike Mandel and Chantel Zakari, a married couple, watched it all unfold through the windows of their home.
You know, it was pretty scary to see these teams of SWAT teams with their tanks kind of roaming around our neighborhood. You know, there were people that were being let out of their houses and being searched. I mean, that's really what inspired us to do this project, was that our experience of going through all of this was pretty traumatic and very, very powerful, as was, I think, everyone who lived in Watertown.
But Mandel and Zarkari's experiences with April 19th are quite different from many fellow residents of Watertown. He's a photographer, she's a graphic designer. They didn't go into the streets to celebrate the end of the lockdown or cheer on police officers following the capture of bombing suspect Johar Tsarnaev. Instead, they went into a ceramic studio where they combined their artistic talents to create commemorative plates.
If you look in our kitchen right now, you'll see there's a number of plates on the wall that are
commemorative kind of plates.
Typically, when a commemorative plate is created, it's to identify and remember something
important,
warm and comfortable.
And the events going on around them on April 19th last year is what they are protesting through their art.
If you look at the plates, you know, that are before you, you've got this kind of decorative element of the flowers and the kind of romantic idea of something that's beautiful and warm and comfortable that is then broken by what's in the center of the plates, these images of SWAT teams that are approaching people's doors and confronting people people looking through their window and seeing police outside their window.
The project, titled Shelter in Plates, was announced on a website and by email in December, and the limited edition glassware was sold out within days.
My name is Michael Dottoli. I bought one plate. It's beautiful. I mean, it was definitely a nice way to sort of bring that experience into an art form, but not in a distasteful way.
Zakari and Mandel also felt the plates were in good taste, and therefore, they say, they were surprised about what happened next.
We created the website on Saturday or Sunday. 4 days later, on a Thursday, I got a call from my employer saying that Chief DeVoe had called and wanted my employer to pull funding out of the project, because if this project went to the press, it would be bad publicity for the institution.
Back in December, I had a phone call from Chief DeVoe from Watertown Police to talk to me a little bit about it.
Sarah McKinnon is the dean of the School of the Museum of Fine Arts, Zakari and Mandel's place of employment.
He said, "Were you aware that the SMFA was mentioned on the website?" And I said, "No, I wasn't." So I took a closer look at it and indeed saw that SMFA was mentioned on the website itself. SMFA had supported the project by virtue of a faculty enrichment grant.
Dean McKinnon described the conversation with Watertown's police chief as cordial and professional, but Mike Mandel has a wholly different interpretation of the telephone call.
He made it clear that if the institution had their name associated with the project, that they were going to receive a negative publicity. This was going to be something bad for them in their recruitment of future students for the school. He basically was trying to pressure the institution, try to make this project stop.
My concern was that I didn't want the school to be in any way seen in a negative light. My concern was not with the particulars of the project, which I didn't know about, but that, you know, we wouldn't want to be taking advantage of anyone else's suffering if it appeared that this was a project that would put us in a bad light. That was of concern to me.
Dean McKinnon says that the SMFA respects academic freedom, and there was no attempt to rescind the faculty enrichment grant that had actually been dispensed a year ago. But Mandel and Zakari said the phone call from Watertown's police chief had a chilling effect.
For the chief of police, in his official capacity, to call our employer and make his accusations was an act of intimidation. It was an act of harassment, and that he should desist, and in addition, he should apologize.
I don't want to speak for Chief DeVoe. I don't want to misspeak or be misquoted.
Raymond Dupuis is Watertown's captain of police, who was made available to WGBH after we reached out to Chief DeVoe for a direct comment. Dupuis says Chief DeVoe's main concern was about individuals profiting from the traumatic 18 hours in Watertown last year.
What I do know is that the chief received some complaints or some comments from people within the community saying how they felt that this was people trying to benefit financially from the situation. It wasn't to harass them or intimidate them.
But after Ed DeVoe called the SMFA, Mandel and Zakari's lawyer sent a letter to the Watertown police chief, posted on our website, which asked him to desist in, quote, further harassment. Chantel Zakari says she and her husband never made money from the project and that it was never their intention.
Yeah, the idea was that this was going to be an affordable project for people to be able to own, not an elitist, one-of-a-kind piece. And we wanted to break even and make it accessible rather than profit from it. This was not a project that we created to make money.
The real issue here, argues Zakari and Mandel, is that they were pushing back against the common feel-good narrative that followed the Watertown manhunt and search, which sounded like this. Instead of celebrating the end of the siege, says Mandel and Zakari, they hope their shelter-in-place collection will incite the public to pepper law enforcement officials with lots of questions.
I mean, think of all the things that we don't know. Think of all the things that happened that night as far as the police firing 200 rounds into people's houses.
How did they decide to evacuate some houses and why certain people? Why did they?
But Christine Cole, executive director of the program on criminal justice at Harvard's Kennedy School, says many of these questions have already been answered.
I actually think that it was a remarkable plan by the government. It facilitated capture. The thing that we have to remember is that decisions were made based on what was known at the time. And what was known and what was believed was that this was necessary.
Christine Cole is the co-author of a new Harvard University study on the Marathon bombing, its aftermath, and leadership. She also lives in that section of Watertown where suspected terrorists were hurling homemade bombs, where bullets were flying, and where residents were ordered, not asked, to shelter in place.
How did it feel? Do I think it was too big or too strong? It doesn't strike me that there's any pattern of this happening across America. It doesn't strike me that this was overly militaristic.
Yet it certainly struck other residents of Watertown that way, a relatively small number of people, it is believed, who are pushing back against the larger narrative of acceptance, which is why Zakari and Mandel say they have put their art on a web page for the whole world to see.
So we have 6 plates in the collection, and we like to call them by their colors to make even more of a reference to home decoration. And
in Watertown, Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
There is an image of the photographer looking through his own window and seeing a SWAT team walking down the street.